Welcome to Spiritual Shenanigans, the podcast where science meets spirituality, where we explore the mysteries of the mind and the vastness of the universe. If you're someone who is fascinated by the stars and intrigued by the power of the mind and the depths of human consciousness, then join us as we delve into the realms of astral travel, alien encounters, and share tools and tips for practical spirituality. Each week, we'll journey beyond the ordinary, exploring topics that expand our awareness. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, a scientist or a seeker, Spiritual Shenanigans offers a playful space where open minds come together to explore the extraordinary.
It's me, James. Welcome to the 8th episode of Spiritual Shenanigans. And today we are going to be hearing about the system of the chakras in your body. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Jace. So today we're diving into one of the most fundamental concepts in spiritual and energy work, the chakras, as Jace mentioned. So whether you've heard of chakras through yoga, meditation, or energy healing practices, or even if this is a brand new concept for you, we're going to be exploring what these energy centers are, their origins, and how they influence us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So let's start with the word chakra and what its meaning is. So chakra originally comes from the Sanskrit word, which means wheel or disc. In spiritual and metaphysical traditions, the chakras are seen as spinning wheels of energy located all throughout the body. And these energy centers are believed to regulate life force energy, the flow of prana through our physical, emotional, and spiritual bodies. So historically speaking, the concept of chakras, its ancient roots are in India, and the earliest mentions that you can find would be in the Vedas, date back to around 1500 to 500 BCE. And these texts are basically the basis of Hinduism, and they're amongst the oldest spiritual texts that you can find in the world. The idea is also actually explored in various tantric traditions, including Kundalini yoga. So the awakening of Kundalini energy is said to activate and balance the chakras. I actually love Kundalini yoga. It's one of the meditations that I practice regularly. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Evolve by Erica, because her meditations are where I really learned Kundalini, and you know, really started with just basic like 5 to 10 minute meditations, but it's such a beautiful practice, and it's, you know, something that I've committed to and do every day. So going back to the chakras, most commonly they're associated, you know, as I mentioned, with Indian spiritual traditions. The concept of energy centers or similar structures actually appears in many cultures. So for example, in the Chinese, the concept of danshins, what, you know, they refer to as energy centers in the body. It's central in practices like Tai Chi and Qigong. And then also in Tibetan Buddhism, there's a focus on the energy centers and wheels, which they refer to as the vortices in their meditation practices. So now Jace is going to just give us an overview of each chakra and where it's located in the body.
Now I'm going to tell you where all 7 chakras are located. I'm going to start from top to bottom, crown, top of your head, third eye in between eyebrows, throat chakra in your throat, heart in your heart, solar plexus above belly button, sacral below belly button, root base of your spine.
Thank you, Jay. So now that we know where the chakras are located in the body, Ryan, I'm wondering, maybe you can answer this, is there any scientific correspondence to the chakras as it relates to the body?
Well, what we would need to know is their physical correspondences, because the term energy centers doesn't really hold any weight in science. You need something physical to associate them with. And as far as the chakras go, there's a few different ways that you could look at them scientifically. First, they're in centers that are highly innervated. So if you talk about the main 7 chakras that people generally talk about, these are in centers up the spine, and these centers all have a lot of nerve endings there and a lot of nerves that go through them. So they're very highly energetic in that way, in that there's a lot of neural connections. So that's one thing. The second thing would be their association with specific glands. For example, the root chakra or the mula chakra is associated with the adrenal glands, which lie right above the kidneys. The sacral chakra are associated with the gonads, and the solar plexus associated with the pancreas. The heart is associated with the thymus, the throat, the thyroid, and the parathyroid gland, the third eye or ajna chakra, the pituitary gland, and then finally the crown chakra is associated with the pineal gland. So each of the specific chakras have centers that are associated with physical structures, with glandular structures, in addition to having the association with specific nerves as well. So in that way, we could map them out scientifically besides their general consensus as energy centers, which are important for spiritual purposes. But if you want to really bridge that gap with science, we need to also know their specific structures and the organs and glands that are associated with them.
Thanks, Ryan. That's super helpful. And actually, as you were talking, I was also thinking about TCM, traditional Chinese medicine. And it seems like there's also a lot of overlap between this and the meridians that are associated with Chinese medicine, right?
Oh, absolutely. So when we're talking about the chakras, I talked about the main seven. We're going to actually talk about some more because there's a lot of different chakras. The Indians talk about over 100, some say 108, some say even more than that. Oh, so there are a lot of chakras in the body, and that corresponds very well with Chinese medicine, which talk about the different meridians, how there are hundreds of meridians in the body that are associated with different energetic points that they could work with for health purposes.
That's awesome, Ryan. So it's great to know that there is actually a scientific correlation with the chakras as well. So we learned about that. We learned about where they're located in the body. I think next we can briefly go over what each of the chakras is known to govern. So when we talk about the lower chakras, you'll see that they're typically connected more to what grounds you. So the root chakra in particular, as Chase said, located at the base of your spine, it's connected to grounding, to stability, to your sense of survival. And then the sacral chakra, which again, located below the navel, is associated with your creativity, very closely linked to your sexuality. And it's also your pleasure center in the body. And next we have our solar plexus chakra, which is connected to our personal willpower. So the solar plexus chakra governs our confidence, our control, our, you know, like I said, our sense of personal power. And our heart chakra is the next one, which really is connected strongly to emotions. So it's linked to love, to compassion, our ability to forgive, emotional balance. And our throat chakra, of course, located in the throat, naturally is connected to our communication. It's also connected to our sense of truth, to expression, so our ability to express ourselves. And then we have the upper chakras. So next is the third eye chakra, which is very closely connected to our intuition. It's also connected to our sense of perception and insight. And then the crown chakra, the last chakra at the top of the head, as Jay said, is connected to spirituality. So it's really focused around our sense of spiritual connection, our connection to the divine, our perception of higher consciousness, of enlightenment. So those are the main seven chakras, and these are some of the characteristics and instincts that they correspond to. Yeah, so now that we know what each of the chakras governs, it's important to also maybe talk a little bit about how they can become imbalanced and what we can do to maintain like a regular routine of keeping our chakras in balance. So obviously meditation is always helpful. And there's a meditation that I personally really love. It's Joe Dispenza's Balancing the Energy Centers. And even if you don't have access to his meditations, or you would rather just quickly, you know, have a practice that you can do on your own. Basically, the way that that meditation works is you sit in meditation and you open your practice, you know, however you would usually do that. And you would then just focus your awareness on each of the energy centers. So scanning your body, starting from the bottom to the top. So starting at the root, focus your energy on each center. And also, I think it would be even more powerful if you also can maybe imagine the color that's associated with each chakra as you're focusing your attention there. That's a really powerful practice. Just a couple of minutes focusing on each center, and you'll actually really be able to feel the energy centers and feel the energy there as you're going through this meditation. So I think that's one way that's really helpful that you can do. It's usually when I do this, it honestly takes probably 10 to 15 minutes at most, and you really end up feeling so much more in balance. So that's a good way. Obviously, you know, each chakra, you could use energy healing with crystals. You can also do like energy work. So Reiki, of course, is one really powerful practice that can be helpful. And and then I think it's also important for us to talk about maybe some of the ways that chakras can become imbalanced. And an imbalance can be either, blocked or stagnant, but it can also be an overactive chakra. So one example of that is the crown chakra or the third eye. Those are two that can easily become overactive. And some ways I think that many people can relate to, I know I definitely can, is when you have an overactive crown or third eye chakra, you're sort of, you know, you'll be in your head a lot. You have a lot of like anxious, repetitive thoughts. And that is also just as harmful to the flow of energy as having a specific chakra that might be blocked.
So if you start off with the root and then gradually climb upward, and that's the whole purpose of Kriya Yoga or Kundalini Yoga, that is the correct order of the ascending serpent. So you start with the coiled serpent on the bottom, that's at the base, and then it uncoils and then gradually goes up the spine into the other chakras. So there is a correct order that you want to open the chakras, and that prevents a lot of the issues that you guys just talked about, where you can have an overactive chakras, especially in the head where the mind takes too much control.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was getting to, Ryan, because I think a lot of people, when they start a spiritual practice, they do spend a lot of time trying to develop, like, you know, the third eye and the pineal glands and focus a lot on that. But if you don't have the proper base, like if your lower chakras are out of balance and you're spending too much time focusing on the upper chakras, you're really not going to get very far with your spiritual practice until you have that proper grounding in place.
That's also why, actually, when you do, any type of energy healing on somebody else or even on yourself, it's really important to start with a grounding exercise on not just yourself, but also the person that you're going to be working on, just to make sure that both of your energy is grounded. And, you know, then you can continue on working on the rest of the chakras and doing a full energy healing session.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll talk a lot more about, how to ground your energy and starting with the root chakra, how to balance each one. But I think it's also important to talk about what are maybe some causes of chakra imbalances, because there can be many, and they can be physical, emotional, or spiritual, as I had previously mentioned. So of course, physical, let's start with like the tangible stuff first. Obviously, any physical trauma of any kind, or even like an illness or disease, can affect the energy flow in the body, and that can lead to specific imbalances. So that would be like the most obvious one. But there's also a lot of other things that we might not necessarily realize affect chakra balancing. Poor diet can definitely be one. So either a lack of nutrition, which can certainly disrupt your energy flow, but also eating a lot of like processed foods or consuming a lot of alcohol or other substances, that can certainly be another thing that can disrupt your energy flow. Exercise is another important thing, especially yoga, of course, like we talked about specifically Kriya or Kundalini yoga, but any kind of yoga and movement in general is really great for energy stagnation. So of course, if you're living a sedentary lifestyle, that can cause energy to stagnate in different parts of the body, and that can cause blockages in the chakras. There's also emotional causes. So that can look like, of course, trauma or like suppressed or unresolved emotions. So if you're
holding on to things like anger, fear, or grief, this can cause either overactivity or a blockage in the chakras. It can be either or. And then stress, of course, stress and anxiety creates imbalances too. We often see this in like the heart, the crown, like we had mentioned, the upper chakras, but as well as the solar plexus chakra too.
And actually also the root, especially for anxiety.
Yes, because if you don't have, of course, if you don't have like a proper foundation and the stability of the root chakra, you're always going to kind of feel a bit anxious. And negative thought patterns too, like persistently having negative thoughts or self-doubt, that can disrupt energy flow in the crown, the third eye, the throat. So yeah, I mean, emotional causes really affect like all of the chakras. And then there's the spiritual causes. So if you're disconnected from like a sense of purpose or feel off on your spiritual path, that definitely affects the crown, also the solar plexus chakra. So that can create some imbalances. And you also have to be mindful about, you know, how you use your energy or who's around, because there are different environments or people that can drain your energy, which can cause imbalances as well. And neglecting your spiritual practice and not having like a proper meditation practice or other spiritual practices, they can lead to a weakened connection to the higher chakras specifically.
And one thing that I could add to that is that too much intellectualizing, too much analysis or overanalysis will really close up your third eye chakra. So that's one of the biggest things that will close that chakra up. You don't want to be too much in your head. You don't want to be overanalyzing situations, because that's going to affect your third eye in a big way.
Yeah, I think, Ryan, you're like talking specifically to me when you say that, because that's definitely something that I struggle with. So I think it would also be helpful maybe if we talked a little bit about some of the physical imbalances associated with each of the chakras and also some of the emotions that are associated with them. Seda, did you want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. And as I go through the chakras, I actually realized that we didn't go over their Sanskrit names yet, so I can also just call those out. So let's start with the base of the spine, the first chakra, the root chakra, which is the Muladhara chakra. And the root chakra, as we briefly mentioned before, is very much connected to our sense of stability. So when the root chakra is out of balance, then naturally we might feel emotions such as fear and insecurity. We might also experience a lack of physical activity because, you know, we're ungrounded. And that can also lead to other things such as not feeling safe, also not feeling financially stable. So the root chakra is actually the money chakra. So when we have financial instability, it is typically linked to an imbalance in this chakra. And when we talk about physical manifestations, you'll notice a lot of lower body issues. So feet issues, anything with the legs, also specifically lower back pain would be closely linked to an imbalance in the root chakra, as well as immune system disorders, since, you know, that governs really our whole body. And if you're ungrounded in your root chakra, your first chakra is out of balance, then it's going to definitely have an effect on the rest of your body. So something like your immune system, which is responsible for keeping you safe, for keeping you healthy, could definitely also present as an imbalance.
Yeah, and also, Seda, in addition to financial stability, which of course is super important when it comes to the root, I also just wanted to add that the familial structure is so important when it comes to having a stable root chakra, because if you come from a family system that feels chaotic or it doesn't make you feel safe, you will definitely experience some sort of imbalance in the root. So having like a stable home, all of those things, a family support, aside from just like the financial aspect of it, is super important for the root chakra.
Yeah, so that definitely ties in with what I was saying of fear of safety. So yeah, great point. You know, the family structure is a big one for that. And that's why essentially when you have any sort of trauma, especially, you know, obviously childhood trauma, something that made you feel unsafe, it definitely does typically lead to an imbalance in the root.
Yes, anything that has to do with stability and the earth element too, because remember the Mula chakra is the chakra of the earth element. So anything that has to do with stability is related to the earth element. So this is where all that energy is concentrated.
Right. And when we go into how to balance each of the chakras, you'll see when we talk about the root chakra, how important it is to incorporate grounding exercises into that work. But let's move on to the
Svadhisthana chakra. And the sacral chakra is associated with the color orange. So when we have an imbalance or a blockage in the sacral chakra, things that you'll notice can be suppressed emotions, definitely sexual repression. So the sacral chakra is very closely linked to our sexuality. So when it's out of balance, you'll definitely notice, you know, a lack of interest in sex, maybe sexual repression. It's also linked to our creativity center. So when the sacral chakra is out of balance, you may notice that you don't feel as creative, that you're lacking creativity, lacking inspiration. So these are some of the imbalances that can show up when your sacral chakra is not in alignment.
And some of the emotions that are associated with the sacral chakra would be emotional instability. So remember, we were talking about familial instability with the root. But for the sacral, specifically, imbalanced emotions in general is a big one, especially guilt. And physical imbalances that you'll see presenting when the sacral chakra is imbalanced is reproductive issues, kidney problems, and also lower back pain. That can be either the
sacral or the roots.
And then, so for the solar plexus chakra, that's the Manipura chakra, and it's associated with the color yellow.
So when the solar plexus chakra is out of balance, there's a lot that can go wrong. Our solar plexus is very important. It's our power center. It governs our personal will. So things that you'll notice when it's out of balance or blocked, you can definitely experience low self-esteem. Often people tend to overwork. So you can notice, you know, an obsession or being a workaholic and having a lack of autonomy. Emotionally, you're also going to notice a lot of shame. So the solar plexus chakra, again, you know, really governs our sense of personal power. And when it's out of balance, often, you know, we feel shameful. We don't feel like ourselves. And the solar plexus is really one of those chakras that when it's out of balance, you just completely don't feel like yourself. You know, you might feel like you've lost your willpower, like you've lost self-control. It's definitely one of those chakras that do tend to commonly be balanced in a lot of people, especially people that experience trauma. And, you know, you really just kind of almost feel like a shell of yourself. And so physically, some of the things that you might notice are digestive issues. So our solar plexus, of course, is located right above the navel, and it governs our organs and systems in that area. So definitely a lot of digestive issues are typically seen when the solar plexus is out of balance or blocked. Also, liver problems is a big one. And then just as I mentioned before, the solar plexus really governs your personal willpower, and definitely something that you're going to notice when it's out of balance is you might feel tired, you might feel, you know, very fatigued, or just, you know, have a general lack of energy, a general lack of willpower or desire to do things or even engage in activities that would normally bring you pleasure or joy.
So next we have the heart chakra, which is the Anahata chakra and is associated with the color green. So when the heart chakra is imbalanced or blocked, we're definitely going to typically see a lot of grief, emotional trauma, relationship issues. So, you know, there's things obviously that can trigger a heart chakra blockage or imbalance, such as major life events like getting a divorce, for example, or of course, losing a loved one. So definitely a lot of grief and a lot of emotional trauma, relationship issues. So even if it's not necessarily a breakup or something like that that you experience, you might just, you know, notice that you have a lot of issues in various relationships in your life. And in addition to grief, which is probably the biggest one, other emotions that you might notice when your heart chakra is imbalanced are things such as bitterness or jealousy. You're going to notice physically, possibly heart problems, anything relating to the upper back. And then another common one is actually also asthma that's associated with blockages in the heart chakra. So let's move on to the throat chakra. The throat chakra is the Vishuddha chakra and is associated with the color blue. And of course, it governs the throat area. So as you'll obviously notice in all of these, you know, when it comes to physical imbalances, if you look at the area that the chakra is located in, typically, you know, any systems or organs in that area are what the specific chakra typically tends to cause imbalances in. So for the throat chakra, when we talk about emotional imbalances, you'll notice an inability to express oneself. Definitely fear of speaking is a big one. Lying as well. So when your throat chakra is blocked, you know, we do tend to see a lot of people that are either unable to express themselves or unable to express themselves truthfully. So whether that means being true to yourself, being true to others, or, you know, just not having the ability to speak your truth. And also a fear of judgment is another thing that can, express when your throat chakra is imbalanced. And then when we're talking about physical imbalances, of course, that would be anything relating to the throat, anything surrounding the throat. So also thyroid issues is a common one, as well as anything within the mouth, such as mouth ulcers also. So for the last two chakras, the upper chakras, the third eye chakra and the crown chakra, let's start with the third eye, the ajna, which is associated with the color indigo. So our third eye, as you might know, is very connected to our intuition. So when the third eye chakra is imbalanced or blocked, there's actually a pretty large variety of symptoms that you might notice, from, you know, physical to emotional manifestations. So one of the biggest ones, of course, is lack of not even just intuition, but a lack of decisiveness, confusion, lack of purpose, an inability to focus, even mood disorders such as depression, being impatient, not being able to see the bigger picture. So just having a general sense of disconnection. So that could be disconnection, you know, typically from your inner self and from your intuition. And then you'll also notice either like very vague thinking or a tend to overthink. So it can be one or the other. And also insomnia is definitely a big one. That could actually be either the crown or the third eye. And you definitely will probably see a lot of crossover between these two chakras, because they are the upper chakras and they're so closely connected. But yeah, for the third eye, I think the biggest difference is it definitely has a lot to do with your personal intuition and your inner self and inner wisdom. And as far as physical issues that can manifest, again, if you look at where your third eye is, it's in between your eyebrows. So you'll notice imbalances there. So you might notice vision problems, sinus issues, and then also headaches is definitely a big one too. And then finally, we have the crown chakra, which is the Sahasrara chakra. And it's actually associated with both the color violet and the color white. So the crown chakra is very much relative to your connection with the divine. So when your crown chakra is out of balance, you'll definitely, again, you know, similar to the third eye chakra, which is more so disconnection from oneself, but you'll just feel a general disconnection, typically with the crown chakra, more so from the divine or from your spirituality. So you might notice that you have possibly a loss of faith if you're going through like what we call a spiritual crisis or even a spiritual awakening, because as we know, a spiritual awakening is not always love and light. So physically, there's usually a connection to some sort of neurological disorders. Depression is also another big one associated with the crown chakra being imbalanced. And then also insomnia, or just, you know, not being able to sleep well, waking up multiple times in the middle of the night. These are all typically associated with imbalances in the crown chakra. So we've covered the seven main chakras, and these are just some examples of imbalances that you might notice, you know, whether it's emotionally or physically, when any of your chakras are out of balance or possibly blocked. Great. So now I think it would be good to maybe get into how to balance each of the seven chakras, the seven main chakras. So we can start with the root chakra, which, as we've already talked about, is very much, you know, associated with grounding and the earth element. So of course, things like walking barefoot and grounding on either grass or sand or stone is super important. Anything really that's dealing with the earth element. So gardening, spending time in nature. Also, of course, you know, regular exercise, especially when you're involving the lower body. So anything engaging the legs and feet would be super helpful for balancing the root chakra. Food is also grounding in general, but especially, you know, red colored foods like raspberries or any red foods really, and root vegetables, because they're grown in the ground, are particularly grounding and helpful for balancing the root chakra. And then red crystals as well. So red jasper is one that comes to mind. That would be a really grounding crystal to work with for the root chakra. Hematite is another crystal that's really great for working with the root chakra, because it's very grounding crystal, and it also is a great one for protecting your energy. And then moving on to the sacral chakra. So with the sacral chakra, really anything dealing with the water element is going to be helpful. So spending time near water, like the ocean, of course, or even things like taking relaxing baths or swimming in a pool will be really helpful. Also, the sacral chakra is associated with creative expression. So things like dance or painting or even music, like anything artistic or creative, right? Even writing, all of those will be really helpful for balancing the sacral. And of course, any orange foods like oranges or other orange vegetables, or these are all really helpful for balancing the sacral chakra. And some crystals that come to mind are carnelian is a really big one for working with the sacral chakra, and citrine is another one. Well, citrine is actually great for both the sacral and the solar plexus chakra. And then moving on to the solar plexus chakra. So it's going to be really helpful to do things that are going to build up your self-confidence, because that's really associated with the solar plexus chakra. So things like, you know, setting and achieving goals or practicing self-discipline, that's really helpful when you're working with the solar plexus. And solar plexus is also associated with the fire element and the sun. So spending time in the sun, absorbing the sun's energy through your skin, that's going to be great. Also practicing pranayama or like deep breathing exercises are really helpful, because they really strengthen the core in the solar plexus area. So I think all of those are helpful. And like I mentioned, in terms of crystals with working with the solar plexus, citrine is a really great one. And also just going back to the sacral chakra, I forgot to mention moonstone, which is not one that you would normally think of, but because it's really associated with the water element, that one is also really helpful for the sacral chakra. But yeah, anything orange or yellow with the solar plexus is going to be really helpful for balancing that out.
Thank you, Nudrat. So I am going to give an overview of the next two chakras. So these two chakras are grouped together as the Rajasic chakras. So Rajasic in Ayurveda means the active one. And the reason that these are the active ones is that the first one is the heart chakra, and that is active as far as the heart generates desire. And then the second one will be the throat chakra, and that's active in that causes communication, talking, speaking. So these are the two Rajasic chakras. So first is the heart chakra, like I said, and that is the Anahata chakra. That's in the center of the chest. So that is associated with, like we said before, heart problems, asthma, upper back issues, could be some physical imbalances, but some healing methods could be things that could open the heart chakra, open the heart. Loving kindness meditations, forgiveness exercises. So that's really big when it comes to the heart chakra. Anything that has to do with forgiveness, and that doesn't just include forgiving other people who harmed you, but also forgiving yourself, because a lot of people are very hard on themselves too. I know a lot of people, including myself, might be harder on themselves than they are on other people. So you need to really forgive yourself in addition to forgive others. So that's really important. When you want to open up the heart chakra, be very forgiving, be loving. So those are some very key things. So foods you could eat, leafy green vegetables. Green tea in particular is actually really good for opening the heart chakra. Some crystals, rose quartz, green aventurine. So some other things about the heart chakra would be emotional release to practice forgiveness and let go of any grudges. You could spend time in nature because that really helps you open up with your heart. Spend time in nature and particularly around green spaces like parks. Daily heart-focused meditation, weekly or daily nature walks, be outside, just go for a walk in the park one day when you have some free time. So that really helps open up your heart space. The throat chakra or the Visuddha chakra. So with this, you want to focus on vocal exercises because you want to open up the communication, lines of communication, the throat, talking. So what you can do here is to open it up is chanting, singing, give some mantras, things like that will really help out. So mantras, if you don't really know, this is an Indian practice where you repeat a certain word of power, usually several times. Typically, I'd say about 108 times you would repeat a specific mantra, and that mantra itself gives you power. So there are different mantras for different deities, different mantras for different things that you want to really activate. So that's one thing that you could do to really open up the throat chakra, anything that has to do with these vocal exercises. Also, because it is communication, you want to journal as well. So write regularly and express your thoughts and emotions. So as Seda mentioned before, one of the negativities that closes up the throat chakra is from people lying or telling untruths, whether it's intentional or not. So one thing that you want to do is to just practice discernment, practice truth telling, just speak your truth in a very kind yet assertive manner. Be confident, but at the same time, so be confident, don't be egotistical. So that's another trap of the throat chakra is egotistical behavior. So you want to be confident and you want to be able to communicate very clearly and confidently without being an egomaniac about it, basically. So, yeah. So singing, chanting, truth telling, some foods that you can have that are particularly good for this particular chakra, herbal teas and also blueberries. Some crystals. We mentioned before that blue is the color of the throat chakra. So lapis lazuli is a stone that's very bright blue. Aquamarine too is another stone that you could use to meditate on and to have around if you need to really open up your throat chakra for better communication. The last two chakras, I'm going to hand it off to Seda. So these are going to be the sattvic chakras, and sattvic meaning equilibrium. So these are the ones that really need to be in balance. And that's one reason that you want to start low and then go higher through the first five chakras. Then you can get to these chakras that are very important and also important in equilibration and balance. So Seda can take it from here.
Thanks, Ryan. As always, you taught me something that I didn't know. So as Ryan said, I'm going to get into the last two chakras of the main seven, which are the third eye and the crown chakra. And also, as Ryan mentioned, super important before you start working with these chakras that the lower chakras are in balance. So for the third eye chakra, as we had talked about, it's very much connected to intuition. So if you want to strengthen your third eye, then practicing strengthening your intuition is extremely important. So some of the things that you can do to balance this chakra is, of course, meditation. So practicing guided visualizations would be supportive in stimulating the third eye. You can also do things like intuitive journaling or even like tarot reading or reading oracle decks. I think dream journals would actually also help with strengthening the third eye chakra. So some healing practices that you can do for the third eye are visualization, as I mentioned, practicing mindfulness. Foods would be any purple foods, so purple grapes, purple sweet potatoes, and then also dark chocolate is a great one for the third eye. And as far as crystals, we have amethyst, which is probably the biggest one. The amethyst is known as the stone of spiritual awareness. So it's very much connected to activating and balancing the third eye. Sodalite is also another great one. And sodalite is one that actually would be great for both the throat as well as the third eye. Now for the crown chakra, the Sahasrara chakra. So the crown chakra is really associated with our connection to the divine. So anything that would strengthen that connection would be something that would help with balancing the crown chakra. So of course, regular meditation, particularly meditations that are focused on spiritual connection and enlightenment, even reading and contemplating spiritual teachings and spiritual texts would be helpful. And also connecting with nature is, of course, when you're connecting with nature, you're connecting further with the divine. So that would in turn help you with balancing your crown chakra and also even spending time in silence. So the crown chakra is almost you could say about disconnecting too, because you want to, you know, spend time, you want to do things like spend time in silence. When it comes to food, you actually want to detox and fast. So that's what you would focus on. And then of course, you know, any spiritual practices that would connect you to the divine. So that can obviously be something that's very individual to each person. So, you know, obviously sitting in prayer, sitting in meditation, connecting with your angels, connecting with your spirit guides, all of that would definitely be helpful in strengthening and balancing your crown chakra. And when it comes to crystals for the crown chakra, it's really any clear crystal that would be helpful. So clear quartz and selenite are two of the biggest ones. And they're also two of the most powerful crystals that you can work with. Clear quartz is extremely cleansing, and so is selenite. Selenite is actually one of the most, probably the most cleansing crystal. It actually cleanses any other crystals. Personally, I love to have like a selenite wand, you know, to cleanse all of my energy centers, especially working with a crown. And you can also use selenite to, you know, get like a selenite plate or something like that and put any of your other crystals on top of it to cleanse those. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Theta, about the selenite, because one thing that I like to do, and I actually pretty much do this on a daily basis right before I leave my apartment, is I like to take a selenite wand, especially if I haven't had the time to sit through like a thorough energy clearing meditation of all the centers. I like to take my selenite wand and just kind of do a sweep, a couple of sweeps of each of the chakras just to kind of clear the energy or any blockages there. So that's a quick thing that you can do if you have a selenite wand, and just set the intention to clear the energy of each chakra. And then I also just wanted to briefly mention, obviously, most of us are familiar with the main seven chakras that we've talked in depth about, but there are additional chakras too. And there's five other ones that are fairly well known if you're into, you know, this spiritual work. And I can touch a little bit about those. I don't know a ton about them, but I can maybe just talk about like where they're located and what they're called. The majority of these five are actually located above the crown. So when you're working with those chakras, and I'll name each of them, the intention is really just to connect more with like the higher realms, the cosmos, your higher self. So, you know, they can be helpful if you're doing that type of work. And then there is the Earth Star Chakra. So I can start with that one. That one is actually below the feet, similar to the root, because it is more about connecting with the earth and forming a connection with the earth. So that's an important one. If you're really wanting to work with grounding and nature, you would want to work with the Earth Star Chakra. And then the other one that is not located above the crown is the causal chakra. That one is actually behind the head. It's sort of like at the nape of the neck. But even though it's not above the crown, it is very important when you're working with like the physical body and your higher self. I don't know too much about that one, but I think Ryan has a little bit more information about that. And then the other three are the Soul Star Chakra, which is right above the crown, the Stellar Gateway Chakra, which is above the Soul Star, and then the final one, which I just love the name, is the Galactic Chakra, and that one is above the Stellar Gateway, and it's the one, of course, as you would imagine, that's mostly going to help you to connect with the cosmos, to connect with your galactic family. So if you're, you know, on that path, definitely work with the galactic chakra. But yeah, maybe Ryan, you could tell us a little bit more about the causal, because the only thing I know about it is it's associated with the astral body, right?
Yeah, well, I could speak a little bit more about the causal chakra, which is called the Thelu chakra, Thelu. And not much really is known about this in the West. It's very important chakra, especially in Hindu tradition, but it hasn't really gained a lot of popularity in the West. And I'm really surprised about that because it is so important for astral projection. So the first time I had this chakra opened was when I was working through initiation into hermetics. So this is the chakra that's in the back of the neck. And basically when this is open, you could feel a vibration throughout the head, especially in the back of the neck. And once you feel that vibration, then it's a lot easier to astral project. So once this chakra is open in unison with the sacral chakra and also the third eye chakra, then it's really easy to have an out of body experience. So this is one of three major chakras for out of body experiences. And the way to open this is to untie what's called the Rudra restriction. Now, Rudra is an aspect of Shiva, the destroyer, and Rudra is one of the most fierce aspects. It is his storm god aspect. So there is a Rudra restriction that basically keeps you sealed within your body. So if you loosen up that knot, that restriction, then it becomes so much easier to get out of your body. And the way to do that is to focus on the back of the head, and that is this chakra here, because it's associated with the medulla oblongata and the brain stem. So once you could really, and one way to activate this is through very intense meditation, concentration exercises, everything that we went over in the astral projection episode. So this is the chakra that's going to be activated by doing that work. And when it is activated, you're really going to feel a lot of noises, like you're going to feel a lot of vibrations, kind of like the buzzing of flies. So if you start feeling that buzzing sound that starts at the back of the head and then goes by the ears, kind of like you're in like a den of flies where everything is really buzzing very loudly, that means that the Rudra restriction is being unraveled and that this chakra is being activated. And this is a really important one, like I said, for this reason. It is a connection to the next world. The easiest way, I think, to leave your body if this one chakra is activated.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to add about these other chakras is they're really, obviously, as we have been talking about during the whole podcast, it's important to start at the root and make sure that your lower chakras are balanced before you move on to what we know as the third eye and the crown, the upper chakras. But when it comes to these chakras, of course, this is a whole nother dimension, really. No pun intended, because you're really accessing higher knowledge, higher consciousness, higher dimension. So these upper chakras really signify, things such as like anything basically that would be related to higher consciousness. So spiritual ascension, divine connection, higher purpose, things like soul contracts, past life karma, karmic debts, and also even like accessing the Akashic records, and then of course access to cosmic wisdom. So when you are at the point where you actually are ready to work with and balance these upper chakras, it can definitely lead to a great sense of spiritual fulfillment and help you in finding enlightenment and, of course, feeling more connected to the broader cosmos.
So we've talked a lot about theory this podcast, but now let's get into a little bit of the actual work you could do with the chakras to activate them, because we've talked a lot about different things that you can do in your lifestyle, but we also want to know like how to actually activate the chakras. And I've actually done that with my podcast hosts before.
Yes.
And the first step here, like we've been talking about, is to focus on the root chakra. So the way to do that is to focus on where the root chakra is, which is in the center of the perineum. So what you do is, if you like to visualize, you visualize red in that area. And then as you're breathing, as you exhale, sound the vibration LAM, L-A-M, LAM. Or you could also do it LAM, 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 like three times as you're exhaling back to back to back. And as you do that, feel the energy flow down to the bottom of your perineum. So don't actually try to move the muscles, because we want to do this more on a subconscious level. We want to move the energy, not necessarily the actual body parts. So feel that energy flowing down as you're exhaling and pronouncing the vibration, lam, lam, lam. And you know that you're doing it right when you actually feel like a pulse in that particular zone. So you want to feel like a heart, your heart beating there. So anytime you want to activate a chakra, it's a huge energy center. There's a lot of nerve endings there, a lot of blood flow there. So you want to feel a pulse in that area. That's how you know that you are opening it. So that's the first step. Then the next one is the sacral chakra. So in this case, you start by taking a deep breath in. And then as you exhale, you focus more on the outer part, like below, like in your sacral region, below the belly button. You focus on that area as you exhale, and you pronounce the vibration VAM, or VAM, 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 while feeling the energy flow outwards. So that is the second one. And then the third one is the third of the tamasic ones. So, and that is the Manipura chakra. So this is a really, really important one, because this is the seat of your will, basically. So you really need to center yourself in the solar plexus chakra. So you could visualize here the yellow, because that's the color of this particular chakra. And the sound here is ram, ram, ram. And as you pronounce that, feel the energy moving from the front to the back. So this could also come out as a pulsing sensation, or sometimes you could actually feel kind of like a ball rolling in the back as you're vibrating the sound. But feel it mostly as you exhale in the back of the solar plexus area. So you're going to feel a very strong pulsing sensation there. Then from there, you move upward to the heart chakra. So this is, this you say yam, like with a Y-A-M or I-A-M, yam, yam, yam. And that's going to have a similar feel as the solar plexus chakra, where you're going to feel it in the back of your heart center, but it's going to feel like the pulsing sensation. It might feel a little bit more like a clap, like clap, 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 whereas the solar plexus might just be like boom, boom, boom. Like everything has its own vibration, basically. So from there, you move upward. So, oh, and again, the heart, you can envision green in that area in your heart center. And for the next highest one, the Vishuddha chakra, the throat chakra, that you envision your throat as blue. And then you pronounce hum, hum, hum with an H. H-A-M, and then you feel the energy flowing into your throat, into and then back into the back of your throat. So if you want to incorporate the Thelu chakra, which is very, like we just talked about how important that is for astral projection, there is no sound that is known for that, but you basically want, you could feel your way through it. So each of the sounds that you start with, you feel it in that particular part of the body. So one sound that I've learned that I felt in the back of my neck in that area is the k sound, K. So you could do like come, come, come. At least that's what I do. And I found that really makes you feel the back of your neck. The next highest one is the Ajna chakra, that's indigo. And with that, it is A-U-M. Like om, but with an A in the beginning, om, om, om. And you kind of could try to concentrate all your energy into your third eye, into the center of your forehead, and then try to like push out, because the third eye is all about like projecting outward. And then the last one is the crown chakra, the Sahasrara. So that you could visualize violet or even white. And with that, it's om, om, om. And then when you do that, pronounce it and feel it like in the center, basically the center of your head, like where you have that ridge, then you're a little bit behind that. That's where that chakra, you want to really feel that. And if you want really want to go beyond that into the soul star chakra, then you could try to pronounce like an NG sound, like just continue to vibrate that sound and feel it above your head. So that's basically like what I do to activate my chakras. And I found that that is a very powerful way to start off any ritual that you want to do. It only takes about maybe 5 to 10 minutes to really get that pulsing sensation in all of your chakras. And that really sets the stage for whatever you want to manifest or whatever you want to do after that. So that's a really good opening exercise. And anyone that's working with the chakras could benefit from that. And there's also some mudras, which are hand movements that you could do for each particular chakra as well. And that's publicly available as well. So you could incorporate that in addition to the visualization and the sounds that you make, the vibrations, the moving of the energy throughout these centers. So these are some exercises that you could do just to close it out, to give you some practical tips on how to really open up the chakras besides the theory that we've been going into depth in.
Wow, amazing, Ryan. Thank you for that. And yes, I definitely remember doing these meditations with you prior to some of the rituals that we did together. And I remember that I tried to memorize all of them, but I couldn't. But like Ryan said, this information is publicly available. So you can definitely find that if you look for it. And also, this actually reminded me of, you know, just the healing power of sounds. Obviously, we talked about so many different modalities that you can use to balance and heal the chakras. And, you know, I think most people are obviously familiar with like mantras, like we talked about in chanting. And also something else that came to mind was solfeggio frequencies. If you're familiar with those, there's specific tones that are believed to have healing properties, and they're actually often associated with the chakras. And, you know, each sound frequency corresponds to a particular chakra and is said to help to balance and align the chakras. And, you know, I'm obviously not going to go through all of them, but I think the one that's most commonly used and most people know about is the 528 hertz frequency, also known as commonly known as the miracle tone. And, you know, most people know it as being associated with transformation and DNA repair. And it's specifically associated with the solar plexus. And it's supposed to help you, you know, to balance some of the aspects of the solar plexus chakra, like self-confidence, personal power, and self-esteem. I mean, there's so many different things that we can talk about when it comes to healing that we haven't even touched on. You know, there's yoga poses, for example. I think most people are very familiar, if you practice yoga, with like heart opening poses. So all of those types of poses would be associated with, you know, helping to balance the heart chakra. And there's actually specific ones, if you really want to look into it, that you can practice for each of the chakras as well. Essential oils is another thing. So, you know, I think anything incorporating like the senses and movement, sounds, as Ryan talked about, and as we talked about with the healing frequencies, can be implemented to help in balancing and aligning your chakras as well. Going back to the sound frequency healing, obviously, a lot of this information is readily available. So if you wanted to work with a specific chakra, you can just, you know, very easily do a search for sound frequency healing for the sacral chakra, for example, and you'll be able to find sounds specific to that. But another way that you can work with chakras, if you want to visit like your local energy healing store, like crystal store, a lot of those type of places will sell these. But tuning forks are actually also really great for working with specific chakras. And often you can actually find a set of tuning forks, and each one is specific to a different chakra. But the tuning forks are another way to provide like a specific frequency for each of the chakras. So if you wanted to work on your own with that, tuning forks are a really therapeutic way to use sound frequency healing when working with the chakras. Oh, that's right, Nujet. I can't believe I didn't think of tuning forks, because we both love using tuning forks in our energy healing practices. So those sounds and healing vibrations are definitely super powerful in helping to balance the chakras. So I think we've given you a lot of great information, hopefully, and, you know, different methods that you can use to balance these energy centers, you know, everything from meditation to breath work, working with crystals, different spiritual practices. You know, we talked about how each chakra influences our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, and the different ways that these can manifest in different aspects of our lives. So I think, you know, in closing, I think it's really important to mention that chakra work obviously isn't just like a one-time practice. It's really an ongoing journey. And I think it's important to make sure that you're regularly tuning into your chakras, that you're understanding the flow of energy within you and making sure that you're taking steps to maintain balance. So we encourage you to explore some of these practices on your own and, you know, to try to see how your energy shifts as you're working with your chakras, whether it's through daily meditation, using specific crystals, or even just becoming mindful of your body's energy flow. There's really no right or wrong way to begin this journey. And I think it's important also to let your intuition guide you. So try to take the time to discover which one of these practices most deeply resonate with you. And, you know, let your intuition guide you as you deepen your connection to your energy centers.
Right, Seda. And you know, what, the more that I do this work, I've actually basically gotten to the point that I can kind of tell when there's something off with my chakras and when I'm due for Reiki session with my energy healers that I like to work with. You know, even being an energy healer myself, obviously I do regularly do work on my chakras and balancing them, but I can usually just kind of tell, like the more that you do this work, you'll be more in tune and you'll be able to tell when something is off. So it'll be easier to do something about that. So yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I hope that it was informative. If there's anything that we did not include in this episode, we'll make sure that we put some information in the show notes for you. And of course, as always, do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll be back next week with a new episode.